Welcome to the Compass Podcast, featuring Chris Chandro and the Compass team. We hope this message is just for you.
Well, good morning, Compass. It's great to see everyone this morning. Are we doing good? All right, awesome. Hey, we are in the last week of our Overwhelmed message series, and I will just tell you this. The whole point of this series is that we recognize that at some point in everyone's life, you've gone through something or you've had a time in your life where you have just been overwhelmed, where it feels like life is crushing in on you. You know those moments where it's like you feel like just to take a deep breath, it's like there's bands across your chest. Or you try to sleep at night and you're so tired, but your brain is just spinning because you've got all this anxiety or stress or worry and you're overwhelmed. And even as I'm saying it right now, some of you guys are like, oh, Chris, you got to stop talking. We've all been there. We've all experienced it. And the reality is this, is that that is not God's plan for your life. God has a better plan for your life than for you to live overwhelmed, than to allow the seasons of stress and worry in our lives to take over and become something bigger, even to expand into to a sickness of being overwhelmed. And so I would encourage you, if you haven't been part of the last several weeks, I would encourage you to go back to the website at compassbn.com and check out some of these previous messages, because there's something in here for all of us, because we have all been there. And today, I want to talk about a specific type of being overwhelmed. Maybe it's even a specific cause of being overwhelmed. And I kind of wanted to close with this because this is one that everybody gets. And this is that anxiety, that worry, that feeling of being overwhelmed that comes when we don't feel like we have enough of something that we need. This is the type of anxiety that comes with finite resources and feeling like they are just running out. They're just slipping through our fingers. Now, when we're talking about these finite resources, there's a diverse group of these things. Okay, so let's just talk about some of them. And again, some of you guys are going to be like, oh, Chris, I'm going to have a panic attack. You got to stop talking about this stuff. But just bear with me. Okay, hold on. So finite resources that can cause us to feel overwhelmed. First is time. This is my big one, time. When my calendar starts to fill up, I'm like angry at my computer, okay? I just want to shut it. I want to get in the car. I just want to drive it into a lake somewhere. Because when I feel like my time is running out and I'm spread too thin, I feel incredibly overwhelmed. And for some of us, time is that finite resource that we can feel like I just don't have enough. And if I just had enough time, everything would be okay. But it's slipping through my fingers. I don't have it. For some of us, that finite resource is money. Money's probably one that everybody can totally relate to, because all of us have had a time in our lives where it's like, I just don't have enough. I just don't have enough to get what I need. And money's a huge stressor. In fact, most divorces, the majority of them, the biggest issue is money and money pressure. And it causes such a strain on marriages when there's pressure as it relates to money. And man, when it feels like you don't have enough, it can just feel like you are being completely pulled down. But there's other finite resources. Our energy is a finite resource. Have you ever felt like so tired that you just didn't even want to get out of bed, that you just didn't even want to go to work, that you just like, kids, just go like make macaroni or something and turn the stove off, please, because I don't want the house to burn down. But even if the house does burn down, just let me sleep through it, okay? Because I don't have the juice to even deal with this anymore. Energy is finite, and we can run out of it. And there's times in our lives where it feels like I just don't have enough to do all the things that I need to do. And not only that, but like sometimes there's so many demands on us that I don't have the energy to accomplish all of the things that I need to accomplish. For some of us, finite resources, knowledge or experience. Maybe in your job, you've hit a cap of your knowledge and experience, and you've advanced, and you've just hit this point where it's like, I don't have enough knowledge anymore. I've run out. I've run out of experience to get me over the hump to the next level. Parents feel this all of the time. You know, it starts out when you got the baby and you're like, oh, what am I doing? I don't know how to do this. And just when you figure out how to take care of a baby, they're running around. And you're like, oh my gosh, how do I take care of this creature that now I used to hold it and now it's running and I don't know what to do. And then that kid is like looking at boys and you're like, stop, what's happening? Knowledge and experience is a finite resource, and it feels like we can run out of it. And then the last one, and this is a big one, is that our relational capital in relationships, or even, I mean, we can just call it love. Sometimes it feels like love is a finite resource that we can run out of, and whether it's in your marriage or with your kids or with your family or friends, you know, it can feel like love can definitely drain. I mean, I know that there... In marriages, there have been people who have felt like, it feels like the love is just slipping away, and I don't know how to hang on to it, and I don't know how to keep it. And as the love drains, I'm just afraid that we're just going to be roommates. Or my kids, they just want what I can't give, and they're taking care of them and providing for them. I just can't do it, and I just want them. I want everyone to leave me alone. All of these finite resources, it feels like we have this much, and when it's gone, it's gone. And that can cause us to feel very overwhelmed in life and have a lot of worry and stress and anxiety. And sometimes it seems like the harder we try to hold on to these things, whether it's time, money, energy, experience, or love in a relationship, sometimes it feels like no matter how hard we try to squeeze onto this and hold on to it so we don't run it, that it just slips through our fingers. And so, like, today, I want us all to, like, really, like, feel this, okay, as we talk about it. So, everybody, just do this with me. We're going to do a little, some role play, okay? So, everybody, just put on your farmer cap. Just imagine what a farmer cap looks like. I don't know what that is. And just put that on your head. Maybe it's like a John Deere baseball cap that's all beat up, you know, something like that. Get that on. You're a farmer. We are all farmers today. Okay, now I want you to imagine that you are a farmer. Let's go back in time a little bit. And it's the 1930s, and it's the Great Depression. Okay, you're a farmer, you farmed the land, you bought a bunch of land to farm it because the World War I was happening, and we were sending crops to Europe, and there was such high demand for all these crops, and so you bought more and more land because you were selling all these crops. And then you bought more and more equipment because you were selling all of these crops, and everything was going awesome. And then the war ends, but it's okay, I mean, it's still like people are still needing stuff, and then all of a sudden, the weather shifts, and the Dust Bowl happens, and everything dries up, and all the stuff that you planted years before that just sprouted out of the ground, and it was so easy. I mean, it was so easy. You put seed and it would just grow, and you cut it down, you put seed, it would grow, and now all of a sudden you put seed down on the ground and nothing. In fact, you see the wind blow through and you see all the topsoil of your fields blowing away in a cloud of dust, and you can see your seed blowing along the ground, and all of a sudden all the investment you made into land, all the investment you made into farming equipment, all that looks like it was for nothing. And you, the farmer in the Great Depression, okay, this is you. You go into your little farmhouse and you look at what you have and you go into your pantry. Because, I mean, you got to feed your family, you still got kids, you still got to take care of them. And you open up your pantry door and in the pantry is just this one bag of seed. And it's the seed that you would normally plant in your fields. But the crops are gone, and the crops that have grown, I mean, you've already consumed them. There's nothing left. You just got this one bag of seed. You're the farmer in the Great Depression. You don't have anything. That's all you have. What do? Do you plant it, or do you eat it? You've got nothing. Everything's falling apart. You've got a finite resource. You're holding it in your hand. What do? Do you plant it, or do you use it to feed your family? Boy, you can start to feel that overwhelming sense of anxiety that comes from finite resources now, can't you? Like, because that's real. That's real. It's an overwhelming situation, and sometimes the weight of being overwhelmed, I mean, even as you've been thinking about that question, sometimes that weight of being overwhelmed can put us in a place where, like, I can't even make a decision. Cook it, plant it, I don't even know. I can't decide. Have you ever been in that? And that's when the panic attacks happen, and you're like, I can't do this, I can't breathe, I just gotta stop. I can't make any decisions, I can't move forward, I just have to stop. And all of a sudden life freezes because you're so overwhelmed, because you're so concerned about everything that you have slipping through your fingers. And the question is this, that I want to ask us today is what do we do when we're dealing with the overwhelming stress that comes from not having enough of a finite resource that we absolutely have to have in our lives? What do we do when we are a Great Depression farmer and all we have is the one bag of seed? What do we do when we look at our calendar and it is completely full and the things that we know are important, we just can't do? The things that we want to do, we can't because everything else is blocking it out. What do we do when you want to, you know, you need a new washing machine because yours has crashed or the car broke down and you look at your bank account and there's nothing there? What do you do when you know that there's so many demands on you from work to school to church to family and you want to make everybody happy, but you just can't because you just don't have the juice to do it? it. And then you start to feel like your relationships are pulling apart and they're spreading thin. And as you watch your relationships start to pull apart, whether it's your marriage, your relationship with your kids, your relationship with your family, your close friends, as you watch those things become distant, you watch that finite resource of love that you have with people start to dwindle, and you just can't hold on to any of it. What do we do? How do we deal with the overwhelming stress that comes from the fear of not having enough? Well, I'm going to start today by telling you this. The first thing to do is what we've already talked about, and that's this. Be a farmer. Be a farmer. Okay, now follow me on this. I admittedly don't know a ton about like farming, okay? So I'm not a person who has like a ton of hands-on experience. When I was a kid, my mom used to get gas at the FS station on 150, and their toy section was all farm toys, so like tractors and stuff. So I know that. That's something. When I was in high school, I took an ag class, and so we like looked at corn and stuff. And like, I mean, the two highlights of my ag class were that we got to milk a cow, and that we got to castrate a bull. Okay, so I'm not saying do that. Okay, don't do that. Listen, it's okay. The answer to being overwhelmed is not to go find a bull and castrate it. That's not it. But God does not want us to live a life of being overwhelmed. It's not his plan and his purpose for your life. He didn't design us to live in that level of anxiety. He designed us to live in peace. In fact, we talked about that a couple weeks ago, how God he purposed us to have peace that passes understanding, a peace that doesn't even make sense based on our circumstances. And we get that peace when we live totally surrendered to God, a life completely surrendered to him. And that's what God wants us to experience, not being overwhelmed. And because it's God's plan for us not to be overwhelmed, the Bible actually has something to say about managing an overwhelmed life as it relates to when we don't have enough. And the Apostle Paul, in the book of 2 Corinthians, has some insight into this. And he was writing to a church that was challenged in much the same way. And Paul said this. He uses farming as an illustration as well, so that's kind of good for us today. So Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9:10, he says that he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Okay, so in this short little passage, there's a lot of things that we can pull out about who God is, about his relationship to us, about how we can live and what God expects of us in order to live a life that honors him and live a life that we can become more like him and to live a life where we can avoid being completely overwhelmed by our fear of not having enough. And the first thing that we can see out of this is just right at the beginning. Paul says, he who supplies. What that says is this, is God is the one who supplies our finite resources. God is the source. It's not your job. It's not your boss. It's not your customers or your clients. It's not your parents. It's not your inheritance. God is the one who supplies our resources. God ultimately is our source. Time, money, energy, relational capital, love, all of those things. God is the one who provides us and supplies us our finite resources. And understanding that our relationship to the things that we think we need is directly tied to our relationship with our loving and heavenly Father is absolutely key. So understand, God is the one who supplies our finite resources. And then Paul continues this. What is God who supplies our finite resources? What does he supply for us? He supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. This is interesting, right? Because there's two specific resources, two specific things that God gives us. He gives seed for the sower and bread for food. He gives us seed to plant and food to eat. He gives us seed to put in the ground, to invest in, to see multiply, and then he gives us bread to eat. And this is not a coincidence. Look at the order in which Paul describes this. God always gives you resources to plant before he gives you resources to consume. God provides it all. Everything that you need to consume in your life, everything that you need to not be overwhelmed, your finite resources, God is the source, God is the supplier. But listen, God gives you resources to plant first, and then he gives you resources to consume. And I think maybe sometimes some of us get that sense of being overwhelmed in our lives, fear of our finite resources, because we've gotten we've gotten that backwards. We said, well, God supplies all my needs. Yeah, he does. And, you know, I need to consume this, and I need to consume this, and I need to consume this. And so God has supplied it for me. So the first thing I need to do is consume it and consume it and consume it. And God's saying, hold on a second. That's not the order of things. I gave you resources first to plant and then to consume. And the beauty of it is this, is God gives both, okay? It's not a one or the other thing. It's not God's only going to give me seed to plant, or God's only going to give me bread to consume for the things that I need in my life to consume it. God gives us both. But I think sometimes we miss the fact that God has called us to plant and to invest. And here's the thing. The passage continues. And Paul says this. He gives you seed to the sower and bread for food. And God will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Now, this is awesome because God's like, God is our source. God supplies everything. And then God supplies a seed to plant, and he gives us bread to consume, resources to consume. But then Paul goes on and he says, God will multiply what? What is God going to multiply? He's going to multiply our seed for what? For sowing. Now, the things that I'm afraid of not having enough of are the things that are going to take care of my basic needs. I'm worried I'm not going to have enough time to take care of all the things I need to take care of, and time to spend with my kids and my wife so that my family is taken care of. I'm worried that I'm not going to have enough money to pay all the bills that I need to pay. I'm worried that I'm not going to have enough energy to meet all the demands that I have in my life. And what this passage is saying this, God will supply you that. But in addition to that, when God gives you resources to plant, when you plant them, he's going to multiply the resources that he's given you to continue planting. And the beauty of this is that as we continue to plant what God has multiplied in our lives, as we plant and God multiplies it. And think about a seed of corn. You plant it, it grows into a plant of corn with what, 5 or 6 ears of corn. How many kernels on an ear of corn? 400 or 500 kernels. So from one seed, you've got thousands of kernels. One seed multiplies into other seeds. It's God's principle exactly as is. And God says when we plant the seed he's given us to plant, it grows and multiplies so that we can take more of that seed and plant it so it can multiply into more. But as we plant, God's promise to provide what we need to consume doesn't go away. In fact, the more we plant, the more we invest in the kingdom, God multiplies it more and more and more, and we see more and more. And yet all along, everything that we need to consume, everything that we need, the finite resources that we're afraid of not having enough, God says that he will provide it. But look at one of the things that God will also provide in us. He provides more seed for us to plant. But Paul says this. He says that when he gives you seed for sowing, he will increase the harvest of your righteousness. Now, this is something that speaks directly to our sense and feeling of being overwhelmed, because it's not just about having enough in your bank account or on your calendar or whatever. It's about what God wants to provide for us spiritually. And when Paul says God's going to give you a harvest of righteousness, you know what that means? So righteousness, like Webster Dictionary definition of righteousness, is moral character or judgment or behavior that is morally or justifiably right. Okay, so that's righteousness. But in the Bible context, the measure of righteousness is measured against God. So are we to say a righteous person is someone who is morally right, who does something that's morally good? We could look at the world and say there's probably lots of people who are righteous, but the biblical standard, God's standard of righteousness is himself, and God is perfect, right? God is perfect in everything. He's perfect in all of his wisdom. He's perfect in his love. He's perfect in his behavior. In every word, God is perfect. So the righteousness that we are measured up against is the righteousness of God. And God says this, is that when we take the resources, the seed that he's given us to plant, and when we plant it, he doesn't just give us everything we need to consume, and he doesn't just give us more seed so that we can multiply more and plant more and see more come, but that God begins to do something in our lives. He begins to give us a harvest of righteousness. And this is what it means, he begins to make us into his image. That God, when we plant, begins to develop his character within us. So, I mean, what are qualities of God? God is love, he's joy, he's peace. God is wise, he's patient, He's kind. Anybody look at that list and say, eh, I don't really want that for me. I'd rather be wrathful and angry and bitter and resentful. You can leave those. No, of course not. Everybody would say, if I had more of these things in my life, that my life would be better. And when we plant, God increases the harvest of righteousness in our lives. He takes our very spirit, he takes our character, our soul, and he begins to shape it and make it more like his and more like him. And now we see our resources begin to grow and we see our spirits begin to grow. And when that happens, when everything that we plant and invest in the kingdom of God begins to grow and to grow and to grow, man, we see amazing things begin to happen. And here's the thing, bottom line, when you are overwhelmed about the fear of not having enough, this is what you need to do in that area of your life. You need to be a farmer and plant seeds. When you are overwhelmed in an area of your life where you are afraid that you do not have enough or that you will not have enough, you need to be a farmer and plant seeds. Plant in things that will bring a harvest, a return. Invest it in the things that God has valued, that God has prioritized in his kingdom. So, okay, so what does that look like, okay, for you? So, Chris, I'm overwhelmed in the area of, like, time, okay? So what does that look like in my life to begin to plant seed with my time? How do I begin to do that? And like a farmer, I mean, this is what we need. Like a farmer, what does a farmer do? A farmer doesn't just take his seeds and then go out when he feels like it and say, well, I'm kind of moved today to plant some seed, and he goes out and throws some on the field. But then the rest of the time, he's like, okay, I'm busy. No, a farmer has a plan. A farmer has a field. He knows exactly how much he's going to plant. He knows how much he's going to lay out. He knows the areas where he needs to plant it, and he knows how it needs to be done. And so like a farmer, we go into it with a plan, and we begin to prioritize the things that God has prioritized in our lives. So how do you plant your time if that's the pressure point in your life? You begin to plant seeds by prioritizing the things that spend time with God. If you're overwhelmed by time, begin prioritizing and planting seeds in your devotional time. Put time aside to read God's word and to pray and plant seed in that. Man, if you're overwhelmed by time and your calendar, find ways to invest in the kingdom of God on Sunday mornings. I mean, prioritizing Sundays where you come together with the body of Christ and you can worship the Lord and you can together with other people hear his word and respond to it. That is a tangible seed that you are planting and investing in the kingdom of God. Prioritize that over your kids' extracurricular activities or over sleeping in or over time at the lake. Prioritize that. Make that the most important thing. If you are struggling with time, plant seed in things that God values and that will develop in your relationship with him in the area of time. If you're overwhelmed in the area of money, I mean, this one, money's the easiest. Give. Can I tell you how many times my wife and I we have been in times in our lives so often where we have felt like, okay, God, you've got to provide for us because you don't have enough. We don't have enough. I don't know how you're going to do this, but God, you got to come through. And every time that that's happened, we've made a decision. Okay, God, we are still going to be faithful to give. And it doesn't make sense. And if I give this, I can't pay my rent. And if I give this, I can't pay the car payment. And if I give this, I can't pay the utility bills. But God, I trust you, and you've called me to plant. You've called me to be a farmer, so I'm going to do it. And here's the thing. Every single time, God has provided for us. Every single time. When we invest in the kingdom of God, he always provides. And if you're struggling in the area of money, if that's a pressure point for you, if you feel like that's a finite resource that you don't have enough of, the answer is not to close your hands and try to hold on to it because it's going to slip through your fingers anyway. The answer is to put it in the hands of someone who can multiply your harvest. And he can provide you seed to plant more, and he can also provide the things that you need to consume. Man, if your area of pressure is your energy, and you're just tired, and you're just worn out, and there's too many demands on your life, and you feel like you just don't have anything to give to anything else anymore except for work and whatever. And here's the thing, man. In the way you plant seed of energy, find a place to serve. Find a place to serve in the kingdom of God. Serve at Compass. You know, serve on Sundays in our hospitality team and our kids ministry, media. We need people serving. We need more people serving in hospitality and kids ministry right now, desperately. We need people serving in setup. Find a place to serve there. If not here at Compass, go sign up at the Home Sweet Home Mission to serve meals once a month. If you don't have energy for the things that matter, invest your energy into things that will have a kingdom return. Be a mentor for foster kids. Find a way to serve. Pour your energy. If you are lacking energy, pour your energy into kingdom matters and see God multiply that area of your life. Fine, man, if you're in the big one, if you're struggling in the area of your relationships and love, and you feel like that's just slipping through your fingers and it's dwindling and it's falling apart, plant kingdom seed in your relationships. Man, and if you feel like the love is slipping out of your marriage, do this. The way you plant kingdom seed is that you begin to love your partner the way that you want to be loved. Put your needs aside. Put the things you want for yourself. Again, take the things that you're trying to hold on to. I need love, I need love, I need love. And you're holding on to it and you're squeezing it so tightly. You know what? Stop holding on to it and begin to pour that love into the other person. Plant kingdom seed because God can multiply what you plant. But a seed that's not planted cannot grow and it cannot multiply. And if you hold on to the seed that you're so scared that you're not going to have enough of, at the end of the day, you're going to have a seed. But if you plant it and you trust God, God will multiply that seed and he will provide you the things that you need to consume and he will provide you even more to be able to plant. I'm going to have the band come up right now. I'm going to wrap up with a story really quick out of the Bible. And this story just really speaks completely to this. Okay, in 1 Kings, there's a prophet named Elijah. And Elijah traveled around the nation of Israel, and he was God's mouthpiece, and he shared with people what God wanted to say to them. And he was there at a time where there's this massive famine, a great depression. Crops were limited, food was scarce, and God told Elijah, he said, I want you to go to this town called Zarephath. And in this town, there's a widow, and I have told her that she needs to prepare you some food, okay? So here's Elijah. He doesn't have enough. God said, I'm going to provide for you. He sends Elijah to this town and to go to this widow's house. So that's what Elijah does. He goes there. And when he gets to this woman's door, he sees her in there, and she's out, and she's kind of making a fire in her front yard, and there's, you know, there's kind of a stone there. Maybe there's some water boiling, and he walks up, and he says, excuse me, he says, this might be a little awkward, but God told me to come here, and he said, in this time of famine, I just don't have anything. He said that I could come here and that you would provide for me. He said, you would give me some food to eat. I'm really hungry. And the woman looked at him, and she said, do you know what I'm doing right now? Do you know why I'm starting this fire, and I've got this pot going? Do you know why? Because I've got one jar of flour left, and I've got one jar of olive oil left. And all I have is enough for me to make one loaf of bread, basically, so that me and my son can have one last meal before we just give up and die. Because once we eat that, there's nothing. Once we eat this last bit of flour and this last bit of oil, and we make this bread, literally, this is our last meal. And then we're gonna die. And you're coming and you're asking me to give you, you're asking me to give you some of this resource that I absolutely do not have enough of. And Elijah says, well, I'm not asking you, God is asking. And Elijah tells her this, he says, listen, if you do this, if you prepare this for me, if you don't consume it for yourself, I know it's your last meal. I know you're going to eat it with your son, and you're going to die. And you think this is it for you, but I'm telling you, if you just do this, if you are obedient to God, if you make this and you give it to me the way God has asked, I promise you that God will take care of you, that God will supply your needs. So, like, I don't know what this woman was thinking, but she did it, okay? She's got a kid in here, a son, who's starving, and they know they're gonna die. And she makes the bread, and she gives it to Elijah, and then they just watch him eat it. But this is what God did. Elijah eats, and he says, okay, here's what's gonna happen. This is what God's told me to tell you. So that jar of flour in that jar of olive oil that you made this bread out of for me. He said, as long as this famine is going, as long as there's no rain, for as long, however long this takes, those two jars will always be full. And so the woman who just poured out all this stuff to make the bread and put the empty jars back on the counter, you know what she does? She goes and looks in the jars. So she runs back and she looks in, and sure enough, inside the jar is the same amount of flour and the same amount of olive oil that she had just cooked into bread for Elijah. So you know what the second thing she did was? She started to make more bread. So she poured that stuff out. She put the empty jars on her counter. She made the bread. She and her son ate. And she's like, okay, God, worst case, we were going to die after our last meal anyway. So worst case, thank you for providing for this. She eats the bread. And you know what she does then? She goes back to the counter and she looks in the jars. And there it was. Exactly the same amount of flour and oil in that jar as had been in there before she made the bread. And you know why? Because she took the seed that God had given her, and even though it wasn't enough, and even though she couldn't make it, even though she knew it wasn't even enough to feed her and her child for their last meal, she planted it. She was terrified. She was on the verge of death. She was scared for her child. How overwhelming is that? The anxiety she must have felt. And yet, what did she do in that time of fear? She trusted God and she planted it. And the God who tells us that he will supply seed for sowing and bread for eating, and that he will multiply our seed when we plant it, and he will harvest in us, he will multiply in us a harvest of righteousness. The same God that multiplied her flour and her oil so that she could live through a famine in just two little jars. He's saying, I can do the same for you, and I will do the same for you, but you have to plant it. Because she could have said no. She could have said, I'm sorry. I know you're the man of God, and I know God has asked this of us, but it's too much. And if she'd said no, she would have eaten the last meal, and she and her son would have slowly starved to death. God's plan for your life is not for you to slowly starve to death. Even if you're scared of that, even if you're worried that that's what's going to happen in your time, in your money, in your relationships, God's plan is not for you to starve to death, but God's plan is for you to be a farmer and plant some seeds. When we're overwhelmed by life and our circumstances feel impossible and we can't sleep at night and we can't breathe and there's a weight on our chest because of our anxiety, our first instinct as followers of Jesus should not be to hold on. Our first instinct as followers of Jesus should be to dig a hole and begin to plant in the area of our life that we are the most afraid of not having enough. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you, Jesus, that at the same time, God, your word is both challenging and encouraging. Because God, there's people in this room who are so afraid that they are not going to have enough of that finite resource. God, they look at their bank account and they don't know how they're going to make it. They look at their schedule and they don't know how they can prioritize their kids or their marriage. God, they just look at their life and the demands of their life and they're so worn out and they're so beaten down and their relationships are falling apart and they don't see how love or care can be brought back into those things. And Jesus, they hear this and we're looking up to you, God, and we're saying, yes, I need a harvest in my life, God. I need you to multiply what I have. I need you to provide, God, for me because I need you. I need it. And I need you to move in this area of my life. And Lord, I'm encouraged by the fact that you are my source, that you are the God who supplies my every need. And God, I'm challenged by the fact that you give us seed to plant first before you give us bread to consume. And so God, for me in the areas of my life where I'm afraid of not having enough, God, I purpose in my heart and I determine with others in this room that Father, today I will plant first and I will consume second. And I pray, Jesus, for those who are overwhelmed, who are carrying the weight of this anxiety of need and want in their lives, you are the God who provides. You are the God who meets our needs, and you are the God who supplies. And so, Lord, I pray that as we trust you, as we lay our hearts open to you today in trust and in hope and in faith, God, I pray that you would take that burden off of our shoulders, that we can trust in the God who supplies. We can trust in the God who multiplies. Jesus, we love you, and we pray all of this in your name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us at Compass. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you have any questions about Compass or this message, contact us at our website, www.compassbn.com.